Hello, and welcome to episode 341 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moyne. I'm joined by the other two M's. So, M's, let's go around the cooler, tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, we'll start with you this week.
Hi, I'm Megan McLaughlin. You can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Joey?
Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. How are you guys?
I'm good. I wanted to tell you guys I finally went to a movie theater after a year and a half.
I saw your tweet.
Yeah, I loved Old. I thought it was so much fun. It's like, I know it's shitty in certain parts, like the dialogue and the acting. I see a lot of people saying that acting is amazing, and I would say no, it is not. But I think there's a reason for that, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. But without spoilers, I will just say that it's fun, and I love that it's original and different.
Yeah, at this point, something original. That would be like... like something
it's such
to crave.
A low bar. It's such a low bar. But I felt like I was watching like a long episode of Lost, or like it's just like, you know, when Lost was good. I'm sorry, when Lost was good. But like the acting is, I guess what I think that Shyamalan does is that he's been deliberately kind of trying to make these B movies, which he even said with The Happening was like he tried to make something kind of bad. And I think what happens to these characters, he puts them through the ringer. But what happens to them, like when you have these flat characters that are kind of annoying, it's kind of more entertaining to watch them like meet their demise. I guess that's kind of sick, but that's why I think there's some genius in it. And there is a twist. I don't know why people are saying there's no twist, because there is one. And I think it's really interesting, but which he could have played up more, but I just had so much fun watching it, just laughing at it and hating the characters and loving the characters at points, you know, it was just a lot of fun.
I think he can still make good movies. I don't remember the name of it, but the one where the kids go visit their grandparents.
The Visitors.
Yes.
The Visitors, the one with Richard Jenkins that he was nominated for. Yeah.
Right. That is not an M. Night
Shyamalan. No.
But The Visit was great. I thought
it was
a lot
fantastic.
Of fun. It was really well acted. I thought, you know, it was just such a sort of a return to form for him that I was really kind of shocked.
I just like how gutsy he is. Like, he doesn't try to, he really does try to do different things. And I know people like, oh, I'm going to see an M. Night Shyamalan movie. Like, he's kind of become a butt of a joke, but he's ballsy. And I really have to give it to him that like he's one of the few directors out there that's doing like original stuff.
I would much rather go see a bad M. Night Shyamalan movie than go see
a Marvel movie. That's how I feel.
I mean, that's true. I mean, I don't want to dump on Marvel movies. Like, I know some people some people will say we're too negative on Marvel movies, but it's also just like, break them apart. I can't really tell the difference.
I think every Marvel movie has the same plot. Oh, I'm different. Oh, I have feelings. Oh, I conquer everything. Like, that's it. Like, I'm different.
dear God, God forbid we have something original. I don't care if it's bad. I don't know.
I had a lot of fun. I was laughing. I was, you know, it's very serious. Old is like, it takes a concept that could literally be like the most devastating thing you could ever watch and makes it fun, which I think is, I don't think many directors could do that.
Just talking about lack of originality, I saw something today in an article that made me completely exhausted and I had to go take a nap when I read it, which was dating the premiere of Amazon's Lord of the Rings TV series.
I'm already so exhausted.
I'm just like, no, please no. Just no.
Most expensive show of all time, right?
I just, how are they going to make it not just a straightforward adaptation of every chapter of the book, which I felt like Peter Jackson probably did. I mean, I've never read the books, but I feel like he didn't leave much on the cutting room floor, just considering how long they eventually became. But like, what Is this like a Lord of the Rings, but in a different, like a different setting? Is it still just Frodo trying to carry the ring to the volcano?
Right. Like, I mean, maybe they're keeping that under wraps on purpose, but
yeah, I don't know.
I feel the same way.
I don't know. It's just exhausting. Just thinking about it.
It's more of a, it's, when I see the headlines, it's like Lord of the Rings will debut in 2022. I was like, that is a threat. That is not a promise. That is a threat. It's like, God. So, the journey begins September 2nd, 2022. And I literally, my first thought was like, the world can come to an end before that happened. I don't know.
It happened. No, I'm kidding. All of a sudden got really dark. Just started complaining a lot. I'm sorry.
Well, actually, what it says, as Bilbo says, now I think I'm quite ready to go on another adventure. Living and breathing Middle Earth these days, many months has been the adventure of a lifetime. So I guess it's a different story. I don't care. That's it. Let's move on. I don't want to give this any more breath air. That's fine. Anyway.
Okay.
There.
All right, so this week we're going to talk about one of our, I know we've been saying this a lot lately, but this is kind of our favorite season of the year, which is Emmy season. And one of our favorite quirky categories is main title design. Usually we go through this every year and review the nominees and try to figure out what this Television Academy will do in terms of actual winners. You know, sometimes, as I say in the podcast post, there are obvious winners, like, you know, Game of Thrones comes to mind with its little, you know, models. And sometimes there are head scratching what the actual fuck winners, like the slowly dissolving titles of Stranger Things.
I have a theory about this year and I can't wait to.
I know. I do, too. Uh-huh. I know what your theory is, but mine's the opposite. Because I can read you. That's
very. So we are going to comb through the nominees for the 2021 Emmy nominated main title designs, not themes, designs. So these are the actually edited main titles, but in at least two cases, closing titles. But we'll go through that. And then, of course, we'll close with the media that we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. So the nominees this year are Between the World and Me, The Good Lord Bird, Lovecraft Country, The Queen's Gambit, Raised by Wolves, and WandaVision. And so what I thought we'd do is just walk through each of these, and then maybe one of us could describe them. And you know, obviously, these titles are available on YouTube for you to watch at home, but we've all seen them. So we'll start with Between the World and Me. So, Joey, why don't we start with you?
Sure. So Between the World and Me, which I know that Shadon interviewed Susan Colicchio Watson for this. I mean, it's based on a novel by Ta-Nehisi Coates. I'm sorry. I need to pull this back up. It's the thing that I like about this main title design, and let me pull it up so I can pull up the visuals here, but I mean, there's a certain type of main title design that gets in a lot, and I feel like this isn't a read or anything, this isn't a criticism at all, but there's like a this one has a lot of layers of like photographs and, you know, pictures of headlines of like the Black experience. They show some things from, like, they show James Baldwin's face. There's something about this that I feels kind of like scrapbooky in like a really good way. That I was really struck by with this one. I'm not explaining this at all well.
No, either. That's, I thought you were, I can jump in too. I was going to say, yeah. I think you're doing a really good job of explaining it, 'cause I think that's the same thing. And it actually makes me think of, I think it's, not to get ahead, but I think it's a strong contender because it reminds me a bit of last year's winner, Godfather of Harlem.
Yeah. I was going to say that too.
It's also a bit like The Man in High Castle, which is also one that won, and Manhattan. Like, they do have a distinct style that they like. Even, I would say, going so far back as to True Detective with, like, the mixed media type of things. But then on the other hand, they also like, you know, dots and stuff, like the counterpart one that won a couple years ago. And, but yeah, I think that this one, I think he did a really good job, describing it, that it's like a, kind of like a scrapbook and things are popping up, like a pop-up book a little bit too.
Yeah. Like they have, you know, the, like I said, James Baldwin, I think there's a shot of Muhammad Ali. There's a, you know, animation of a black person walking up to a line of police. There's something about like the texture of this one that I really liked. Like some of it is still and some of it is in motion. But I totally feel like this is a sort of sneaky contender in here. And something that I feel like is worth mentioning is that it's like kind of somewhat impossible to predict this category.
Yes.
There's no pattern. There's no, I'm sure maybe if you did a little like huge deep dive into it, maybe there are certain artists that have gotten in this category a couple of times, but it's sort of like just when you think you have the pattern unlocked, something else wins.
Yeah.
Well, I totally agree. Westworld hasn't won, which is kind of crazy. Because that has a great sequence.
Did it not win the first year?
No. It's never won.
It's all, yeah, I got nominated twice. So the last year it lost to Godfather of Harlem. And I think the last time it lost a counterpart. I think, yeah, that was the year that.
Yeah. It lost to. It's lost three times.
Oh, yeah, and it lost to Stranger Things.
Mm hmm.
Mm hmm. But it's been nominated every year, even though it changes its titles just ever so slightly.
Yeah.
Just enough.
Just enough. Megan, why don't you talk to us about The Good Lord Bird?
This is an interesting one. It kind of looks like a bit like a comic book strip was what like it's drawn. And it's like red and black and white. I think they have some yellow in there, too. But this one was an interesting one that at first I was like, it's funny with each one I watched it, like, well, this one's got to win because they're all pretty good. But this one has like, yeah, like just lots of, it looks like it's drawn like almost like a comic book. It kind of reminded me a bit of like a little bit of Jessica Jones in the past. That's the way I thought of it as. I don't know. Mm. But
this one reminds me of Saul Bass in 1950s.
Yes, that's true.
Posters
that, yes.
And titles. Mm-hmm. And it if you look at it, it reminded me most closely of Feud.
Yes, that's a good call.
Which I thought should have won that year, or at least been a top contender. But I think maybe that year with the split and Stranger Things won. But yeah, this one feels it's different. It's beautiful, mm-hmm. And it's definitely inspired by Saul Bass's work. I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
But this is the show's only nomination.
That's kind of
so crazy.
Yeah, considering how long Ethan Hawke was a frontrunner.
Yeah.
And actually, being the only nomination for a show does not prevent it from winning this category because Godfather of Harlem only got one nomination and it has a 1-to-1.
Mm-hmm.
Counterpart, I think, didn't get anything else. You know, I'm just looking back at Manhattan, maybe. Maybe Manhattan got a few more.
I think that was probably Manhattan's only one. Well, yeah, I was looking up that I wrote a piece about this years ago. I forgot that how this is kind of like the one-hit wonder category.
True, yeah.
Because a lot of these shows are canceled. Stevens. Yeah, or like, or just don't. Even like if you want to think of it, like Bored to Death is kind of a one-hit wonder. Mm-hmm. I would say Manhattan is, even though I watched it and enjoyed it, not that means it's a long one, but like it had like two seasons. And then there's another one I was looking in there that made me think.
Huff?
Yes.
The fact that Huff beat Desperate Housewives.
That's so funny. Like there's another one that I was thinking of. There's lots of shows that you don't think about anymore, which is weird. Like Carnival. I'm sure people think of that. The United States of Tara.
Yeah. One thing that I noticed in the 2000s, in the early 2000s, they did nominate things that weren't necessarily TV shows.
Yeah.
You know, they nominated the Academy Awards. They nominated movies, Hysterical Blindness. They nominated what is this, Exxon, you know, Masterpiece Theater is American Collection. I mean, there's a variety of nominees here, but this, you know, recently it's mostly just been limited series and dramas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vinyl, one of its only nominations.
Oh yeah. That was a good, Vinyl? I did like that one.
I mean,
how
could you possibly screw up the main titles of Vinyl? I mean, you just basically film a record playing.
But they didn't do that. Remember, it looked like it was like
an amoeba or an organism splitting apart or something.
Oh God, I don't even remember. Interesting.
I do.
All right. So that's The Good Lord Bird. Lovecraft Country kind of follows in the footsteps of last year's Watchmen, in that it doesn't. It has main titles, but they're basically a very quick sort of 5-10 second vignette of images from the show or from the particular episode. So, you know, in one case, it's like almost a silhouette or silhouette superimposed against a moon or something like that. And it's meant to reflect thematically on the content of the episode, kind of like Watchmen did last year.
It reminds me a bit of Stranger Things, too.
It does. And you know, the way that the title kind of fades in or zooms out or something. I don't remember exactly which way the titles were going. But yeah, it is a bit like that. Different colors, different shapes, images, art, very arty. It's well done. I don't think it's, you know, particularly groundbreaking, but it's incredibly well done.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Don't know that I have any much more to say about it.
Yeah.
Joey, Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit has a lot of squares.
And it looks like these are redacted too, is what I thought.
Yeah, it sort of looks like there's a really interesting article that I was reading earlier on artofthetitle.com. Which they break down a lot of title sequences, and they do a lot of interviews with people who do the title sequences. I actually remember when I saw The Queen's Gambit on the ballot, I was just like, this is stupid. This is a final credit scene. It's not like, I always just associated main titles with like the beginning of a show. I was like, it doesn't have a main title sequence. There's like a cleanness to this, and like the way, the momentum of the movement of it, that I feel like people shouldn't count this one out. It's very simple, very clean. It's all black and white. You know, it's squares breaking apart. You know, it reminds me of a chessboard, but also, like, I don't know, it feels like it's hinting at, you know, the fragments of her brain a little bit, or trying to, like, there's a movement to how things are in this that makes me feel like, I don't know, people can respond to a simple concept done well. Or maybe you guys think I'm crazy and it's just lame, but oh well.
I mean, it's not one of my favorites in this category, but I also thought that it reminded me a bit of Counterpoint. Mm-hmm. Or Counterpart, I'm sorry, which has one. And I thought, like, literally they could go with any of these, I think.
Well, I think it's interesting how it takes the color and the patterns and the shapes of chess and puts it through a sort of a drunken or a psychedelic filter, like to simulate her being on drugs.
Oh, yeah. That is interesting. I didn't think about that.
There's another, I think another version of this that the concept artist, whose name escapes me, let me find it, that they brought up. Well, the title designer, their name is Saskia Marka. I think there's another concept of it that still had the squares, but it had images from the show in it. You know, I'm not sure if I would have liked that as much, but it sort of like looked like it would, like the squares were breaking up pieces. Oh fuck, just spilled my wine. breaking up, you know, a little bit more of her psyche, in a little bit more of an on the nose way. This feels like a little bit more of a classic approach.
Yeah. I agree. And I do want to say I was doing a little bit of research because I don't know anything about the Lord of the Rings quote unquote series, but it does take place several thousand years before the books. So it's not just a remake of the movie. So before anybody writes me and tells me I'm an idiot, I understand that it's several thousand years before. So good job.
Oh great. God. A prequel about jewelry. Cannot wait for that.
I hate prequels so much. I really do.
I'm just gonna pretend it's the origin story of Zales, or it's like the origins, or it's the origins or story of Jared. Like it can only be Jared, but how did Jared become Jared?
You went to the one mountain.
I would watch that.
I would watch that. Did he bomb at a comedy club or something? Who knows?
All right, Megan, Raised by Wolves.
I watched this the first time and I didn't quite. This is probably my least favorite one, which is probably means it's going to be the one that wins. But it's like, it is rewatching it. At first I was like, okay, planets are blowing up. Satellites are blowing up. You know, what does this have to do with wolves? Which I haven't
world building.
Watch this. Yeah. There's also like this great scene in it where there's just like this little body floating up. Like it looks like an alien that's like floating amidst all of the debris that's flying around. It looks like the Hindenburg is on fire at one point. It's really wild. And it almost looks animated, but not animated. It is kind of stunning. And so I could see this one winning. I could see all of them winning. I'm going to just be like, it'll be a gut move when I do pick it. But and then this one ends with like an eclipse. It says like Raised by Wolves. And then it's like, it's lots of like planetary type of images that are really stunning and beautiful.
And directed by Ridley Scott.
Yes.
Oddly, it's one of those HBO shows that just kind of came and went.
It was on HBO?
Yeah, HBO Max.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. I know some people have talked about it, but it was so quiet. Like, usually HBO shows have a certain cachet to them or, just nothing.
I'm worried there are going to be too many, like, HBO shows, kind of like the way there are too many Netflix shows, where they just, like, have, like, here's a show, like that, like the Moms show that lots of people watch. They're just, like, random shows like that that, like, I would love to get around to, but I feel like I never do. Like, and I feel like I'm worried that HBO Max is going to start just having random shows that I'll never get to.
What?
Like, too many.
Mom show.
Yeah, I don't know what Mom show you're talking about.
Oh, it's like, I forget. It's like, I know a lot of women watch it, like young mothers that I know. Let's see. There's somebody from It's Always Sunny who's on it. Working Moms, yeah.
Oh, still don't know it.
It's good. It's been on for like 4 seasons.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Like, isn't that crazy?
You saying that is like, now I've heard of it.
No, I mean, I'm meaning not saying that you should know this, but meaning like the fact that it's been on for 4 seasons and you don't know it is kind of crazy,
on Netflix.
Right?
I was thinking of HBO.
It might be a Canadian show that like picked up.
Yeah, they do that a lot. And, or like foreign shows where they'll give us this description of the show and it's like, it's a steamy detective drama and then blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden it's like in Dutch. Like, what?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Or even like if that you were... sex life show that everybody's talking about.
Oh, you just need to get to the third episode and see the shower scene. That's all you need to know.
Okay.
I haven't watched it. I will give you the timestamp.
I feel like Netflix has done no promoting of that show and it's just kind of went off on its own. There's some shows like that. And there's some shows that people find that like, I want to find too. Like, there's just so much. There's so much to watch.
Yeah. I don't think with Sex Life they needed to do any promotion of that. I think it was the internet was doing all of the promotion for it.
That could be.
Which is a double-edged sword because there's a lot of screen caps out there. Basically, you don't need to watch the show. Here's a litany of all the scenes you really want to see.
Yeah, that's kind of sad, actually.
Yeah. So that was Raised by Wolves, and I will close with the last nominee, which is WandaVision, which is not an opening title. It is a close title, and it's basically like, imagine looking at a TV screen, but way too close, and that's basically what the title's main titles of WandaVision are.
Oh, I thought it was like all the different main titles of all the episodes.
That's what I thought too.
The homage ones? I could be wrong.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were too.
The one that I looked at was the TV.
The one that I saw that were they like the Malcolm in the Middle one that they did. Somebody put together the Family Ties one, the parody, the 80s like Full House parody one, the Bewitched one, and the like Leave It to Beaver type of one.
I remember both of them. I remember. You mean the one at the end where it's like green, red, and blue, and it's like the moving images a little bit, like kind of static. Okay. I mean, either or. That's fine.
Well, no. It would, it would change my opinion of a potential winner if it's just, if it's the homages to the different eras of comedy.
That's what I just assumed that's what it was.
Yeah, I did go to a source. I think it was that place that you quoted, Joey, and they listed the closed credits.
Okay.
But I will take a look at that.
Whoever says it on the Emmy website. Let's see. It says who the artist is. Well, I assume it's probably the artist for both of them.
But what it doesn't say?
It lists a bunch of like animators and creative directors, so I'll look it up. John.
Well, then if it's animators, it must be the what you guys are talking about, which is the homage to Bewitched and Dick Van Dyke and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's judging from. Never mind, I can't find it. Well, the thing that the creator tweeted, I mean, this was in April, he's talking about working on WandaVision with a string of awesome and insane opportunities, and the link he did, or the video that he linked was actually both of them. It was all of the homages, the, like, swirling please stand by things, and even the sort of title sequence of Agatha All Along. So... Mm. Yeah, maybe okay. He did all of it.
Yeah,
as just a giant chunk.
That almost isn't kind of fair. That's a lot. That's a lot of main title design. I don't know. So what do we think is the? Again, put how difficult this is. What's your gut on how this will go? Actually, before we say that, both of you have theories, and I think, well, Megan, you hypothesized that your theory was the inverse of Joey's.
Yes. Well, my theory was that it was going to be Between the World and Me, because that one was a lot like Godfather of Harlem, which won last year, and it's a lot like other ones. But now I think my theory is stupid, because it could be anything. I figured Joey's theory was that it was going to be Lovecraft Country, because it was kind of like Watchmen. No, it was kind of like Stranger Things, is what I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. Joey, what is your theory?
My theory was it was going to be Queen's Gambit, because it was just clean and simple, like Counterpart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I could pick a pattern of anything, they sort of have a boner for when it's a main title where an image starts at one thing and it turns into another thing. I think the best example of that is The Night Manager.
Which didn't win,
but it was nominated. But I feel like they like that stuff. I don't know. So that's
American
why.
American Gods.
I think they like collages and like hodgepodge type of things. They like grandma's craft books. They like flipping through those. They like dots. Or they like dots. Or they just like words appearing on screen and then slowly fading.
We talked about this last week, but. I don't remember if it was on the podcast or not, but, you know, I'm still sort of surprised that Ted Lasso wasn't on here.
I'm also surprised that...
I'm surprised that The Flight Attendant wasn't on there.
That one, and then the Murder at Middle Beach one wasn't on there.
Oh, I love that one.
That's, like, the best title sequence of the year, I think. It's super creepy and just really interesting.
There's a bunch of... good ones. I was flipping through the list of like what was actually not like eligible. Like Equal has a good one. Fargo has a good one. I don't know. I think even something like I'll Be Gone in the Dark has a good one. The Lady in the Dale. Yeah. I mean, even Rest in Peace, I guess. Jupiter's Legacy. I don't know. There's some good shit on there.
There is a main title design superstar in here, which is Patrick Clare, who did the titles for Lovecraft Country, who also did the titles for Westworld, who did the titles for True Detective, who won for True Detective, who did The Crown. He did American Gods. He did The Night Manager. Marvel's Daredevil, Halt and Catch Fire.
Oh, shit.
Often competing against himself, but he has won for True Detective, and he looks like, I think he won for, yeah, The Man in the High Castle.
Okay.
But I don't look at names. Sorry.
If I had to pick, I think I'm down between The World of Me and Raised by Wolves. And I might go. At first I was like, oh, it has to be WandaVision because people like it's honoring television, but then I'm not sure because this isn't something they usually go for.
I now I'm torn between a couple of them. I don't think it's going to be Good Lord. Again, watch.
Yeah, I think that's the least the one that I don't think.
Front runner.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Awards Daily says that it's not going to win, therefore it will win. My instinct is to say The Queen's Gambit, but now that I'm just looking at some of the imagery from Lovecraft Country, I mean, it's colorful, it's kind of like a bold, some bold things, even though it's quick, you know, so the main titles are short on that show, so, I don't know, I'm looking at some of these images.
I think I'll go my final vote, well, until I change it, Raised by Wolves, I think that's what I'm going with.
I think I'm going to go with Queen's Gambit.
I'm back and forth between Queen's Gambit and WandaVision.
Or WandaVision.
I mean, honestly, there's a good argument for any of these. That's what's hard.
There is, yes. But I think I'm going to go with WandaVision.
All three of us.
That's funny.
But I mean, that's how funny. This goes, right? I mean, we'll probably all three be wrong, and it's the good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, watch. I wanted to say, I know we're not covering main title theme, but I think there's some good stuff in there. I mean, everyone knows how much I love the fucking flight attendant, but I think the music in that is sort of bonkers and fun, and it's sort of like incredibly disjointed and weird and crazy. And like I assumed Ted Lasso's probably gonna win because it's a Mumford is involved in it. But then like I mean it's Ted Lasso. But then I didn't realize that the people behind Frozen, Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez wrote the theme music to WandaVision. So who the fuck knows? So that's it. Oh, and Bridgerton's there. Good for that.
and if people haven't reached out to this site or taken a look at it, Joey mentioned it earlier, artofthetitle.com is a really great source for all of the nominees here.
Mm-hmm. I like that website a lot because I think main title design is such a unique, whether it's for a movie or a TV show, I think it's just like a really sort of unique, unique art form, but you know, it's something that, I try not to like skip main titles very much anymore. One of my favorite things that I saw in the last couple of months is that when The Nanny came to HBO Max and all these homos were like, the fact that, and they all said it, they all said the same thing. They were like, the fact that there's a skip intro for The Nanny is homophobic. You're right. It is. Call the ACLU.
Although I will say that this website does have some egregious errors in it. So as I'm reading through the text, because they say, The titles that were grievously overlooked this year include The Flight Attendant, yes, but also Mrs. America and Little Fires Everywhere, which were eligible last year. So
it's okay.
People make mistakes. Not like we've ever done it before, but it's okay.
I'm perfect, so I don't know.
All right, so Megan is sticking with Raised by Wolves. Joey is currently hovering around Queen's Gambit, and I am visiting WandaVision right now. I probably won't change my mind on that. I don't have any reason to change it. I mean, it depends on how I wake up tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I think it's a good Lord Bird kind of day.
Something the Academy didn't say, so.
And you can't say that they go with the title that they know, so.
Right, because they don't.
No, definitely not. All right, does that cover it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, let's move to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And I'm going to go first, if you guys don't mind.
Yeah.
All right. I got two movies I'm looking forward to this week. One is quality and one is supposedly quality, but we'll see. One is only because it's on HBO Max and it's free for me, The Suicide Squad. Because it is directed by James Gunn, who did Alchemy, I think, turning crap into gold with Guardians of the Galaxy, a film that I really like. I don't know. I hear people, I see tweets about it, and I'm like, people guffawing over, it's a giant shark with a mustache, and it's voiced by Sylvester Stallone. Cinema! And I'm like, God, no. But I will probably watch the first 15 minutes of it, because, again, it's on HBO Max. But something I'm really fascinated by is the documentary on Amazon Prime, Val, about Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Vow.
The Vow?
No, I want to watch that, too. No, my beloved obsession, yes, on HBO. Yeah.
Yes. So this
it kind of sounded like you said The Vowel, as if it was like a Vanna White hard-hitting.
Vanna White expose.
Yeah.
About her her one acting appearance as the goddess of love in the 1990-something movie or 80-something movie, Goddess of Love, where she played Aphrodite.
Oh. I didn't know she did that. That's a good callback.
I remember it airing on TV, so it probably was a very long time ago. Nothing on TV that I'm really interested in. I do have a podcast that I'm listening to that I would recommend to everyone, which is TCM's The Plot Thickens.
I have actually been wanting to listen to that. That's so funny that you mentioned that. I have that on my list.
This is season two, and season two is focusing on the Bonfire of the Vanities. It is narrated by the woman whose name I have completely forgotten, Julie Solomon, who wrote the book The Devil's Candy. She was a Washington Post film critic who struck up a friendship with Brian De Palma and was allowed access to the site, pretty much unfettered access to the filming for an entire year. And she has all kinds of audio recordings of Melanie Griffith and Brian De Palma, of course, but also a little bit of Tom Hanks, some Bruce Willis, lots of dirt, lots of tea, as the kids say, but also some really interesting looks at how a filmmaking production of this magnitude can go wrong. And really how this book probably never should have been made into a movie in the first place.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah, I keep wondering, though, if they'll ever revisit it and make it a limited series for, like, HBO or something like that. But I think it's too divisive. But those are the things I'm looking forward to this week. So, Joey.
I'm going to catch up with some stuff. I've been still trying to watch Starstruck on HBO Max. I want to check out that podcast. I think it sounds interesting. Part of me wants to go see Stillwater this weekend and just scream faggot at the screen.
Retracted, Joey. He retracted.
I feel like Matt Damon is the type of person who is just like, all right, Matt Damon, you're on like your 15th shot here. But Okay. I actually don't want to see Stillwater. I have no desire to see it, even though I love Matt Damon as an actor.
Me too. I actually don't want to see it either, but I do love Matt Damon as an actor.
Yeah. I do want to see Annette comes out this week here. That bonkers-looking musical with Marion Cotillard and Adam Driver. And I remember one of that, God, I can't remember the director's name, but I saw Holy Motors at a theater in downtown Pittsburgh at the Harris. I had no idea what it was about when I went in. I had no idea what was happening while I watched it. I have no idea what it was about now, and I think that was 12 years ago. But it had some really weird, crazy choices. And I'll go see an original musical with Marion Cotillard and Adam Driver. Sure, why not?
I am looking forward to, I need to finish Kevin Can Fuck Himself. I didn't get a chance to watch that episode. I want to watch the Music Box documentary, which is not a documentary about the making of Mariah Carey's 1994 album or 1993 album.
Is it about Music Box?
It's about Woodstock 99 and how that was a disaster. Which my dad was giving me the full recap of it, which was funny because I remember all of it going on at the time. But I'm anxious to watch that and see, you know, because you watched it as a kid happen and you don't really understand. I'm also hoping to finish Troublemaker, the Leah Remini memoir, which is so good because they got to the stuff about Tom and Katie, and then now. She's getting to the stuff about the talk, which is so relevant because Sharon Osbourne's a bitch. She's not very nice. But I'm hoping to finish that. RuPaul's Drag Race. Yeah, and that's about it. Hopefully catching up on some other things, other shows too. Oh, F-Boy Island I need to watch. Lotus. Like, I have not had a moment to sit and watch anything really.
There is something that I mentioned on TV that I have finished, but others, I don't know if you guys have heard of it. I think maybe I mentioned to you, Joey, which is an animated show that just recently on HBO Max called, is it The Prince?
The Prince.
Yeah, The Prince. It's an animated take on the royal family and
from
the perspective of Prince George, and who bears a strong resemblance to somebody on this podcast in some ways, I have noticed.
I am both flattered and intrigued.
So even to the point where it sounds like you a little bit, Joey. So good job for narrating that. But like,
so I need to sue them.
You totally should. It's funny enough. It's not like laugh out loud hilarious, but there are some things, there are some running gags that made me chuckle quite a bit, and it gets very weird very easily. But it's it's 12 episodes of like 18 minutes, so it's very, very, very ridiculously quick to binge. It's good. I liked it.
There's a part in the trailer where it makes me laugh, where Meghan and Harry go into an apartment building. He's like, this is the tiniest palace I've ever seen. And she's like, that's because it's an apartment. He goes, oh yes, a palace filled with other tiny little palaces. Oh God.
There's a scene toward the end of the, it's not really a spoiler. I don't know how you can spoil cartoons, but it's the handlers or the butlers or the servants forget to quote unquote plug in, Prince Philip.
Oh,
and
God.
So he'd apparently died and they didn't want to tell her that he'd died. So they just stuck him up there and they would like manipulate his jaw and talk for him. And she's like, the queen goes, I'm so fucking hot for you right now. It's that kind of thing. I mean, check it out. It's on HBO Max. It takes less than an hour and a half to watch the whole thing. So what could
you
do?
Wow. So. I feel like the advertising should be like, makes the crown look respectable or something. Not that the Crown is disrespectful. Like, the Crown is, you know, like, how they're like, ooh, this Crown is scandalous. But you know what I mean? It's just sort of like the royal family will want to watch the Crown after they hear about the prince.
Oh, too bad. It's if you ever have an Emmy party, I want you to make I want you to figure out how to make flummery tarts. It's from the show. You'll laugh when you see it. Okay. So does that cover everything?
Yeah.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. So we are the three M's, contributors Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.